like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. First off, let's do our Resolution 163, 2013, to appoint Ann Hilduff as our acting Borough Clerk.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That's done, we'll do the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to the minutes of the executive session of July 16th.
Make a motion to put the minutes into file.
Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes?
I was absent at that meeting, so if you could take my name off as being present.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
No abstentions.
We have two pieces of correspondence, the Municipal Court and the Chamber of Commerce.
A motion to receive and file the report.
Second it.
Okay, is there any discussion on either of the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Do you want to also, there's a pile of stuff on the desk here we came in. Do you want to address the Warren Hills letter? Or?
I suppose now is as good a time as any to do that.
So I'll make a... Do you want to receive and file all of this stuff from the attorney and I think...
I don't think we receive and file from the attorney. That's really just discussion.
Okay. So just receive and file the Warren Hills memo from the principal planner.
Any discussion on that?
Question.
Sure.
We get town teal already. It's going to be teal and blue?
Is that on the same day?
Well,
it will overlap, but this is just for the one weekend.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have the banner.
The town's already teal, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Some of the things will be overlap, but it sounds like they're going to hang like banners and balloons and posters. And they'll be taking them down on Monday.
Okay. Does Rudy know about this?
We'll make him aware of it after we approve it. But first off, let's receive and file. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We wish to approve this.
I'll make the motion to approve it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? And we'll just add that everybody will be made aware of it in the town hall. And maybe need to be aware of it. Any other discussion?
I understand that you could let some of the businesses know, but... for the first home football game.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
No. Mr. Mayor, do we have to make any other action regarding the other correspondence received, like the Chamber of Commerce one?
Have to?
No. We don't have to.
What did they...
Okay.
What did they want?
Because I'm not sure if we actually have anything that...
I think this is...
This is going to the planning board, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really just notification for us.
Okay.
There's really no action for us to take on. Okay, at this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests.
We hope everybody's been joining us for the festival this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got some great food, a lot of participation from the businesses, a lot of vendors, some great bands, and look forward to seeing you there.
Some new food vendors, like the taco guy.
I know.
And three bands, right?
Great. Oh, my God. Three stages, probably at least five bands per stage, so it's going to be good. If you happen to go to the Keith Ridge Taco Guy, just mention them. Oh, my God. This would be great in Washington. This would sell wonderfully. He actually has a hard store in Bethlehem, and I think it would be something that would really be appealing. In addition to all the tacos and Mexican specialties, they have like 50 kinds of milkshakes, fried pierogies, and cheese sticks, and, you know, I mean, delicious but inexpensive. It'd probably be a nice little addition for us. And along with that, please, everybody visit Ally's Cupcakery. It's about to open soon, so we're very excited about that. I happened to be by today. It looks lovely. The menu is very tasty and delicious, so you have salad and then the cupcakes. All around a great thing.
I have a copy of the menu with me. I was going to discuss that with Councilor Marks later. If anybody wants to see it.
I'll have to make you a sugar-free one, okay?
They do open tomorrow, by the way, their first day. So their actual official opening with the mayor to cut the ribbon will be the 13th, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to close the audience portion.
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, brings us to ordinances. How about if we do the fire prevention ordinance discussion first?
All right, well, I guess we left this off the last time we put it up with this already have been, as I had mentioned, reviewed by both the code book committee as well as the attorney.
And it was mainly written by the fire marshal, you know.
Yeah, with a lot of input from the fire marshal as well as the manager. I don't know if there people had questions on this or. Okay.
Pretty straightforward to me, Judy. Do you have anything you'd like to add for that one?
The only thing that I have is that I had forwarded what I hope is the final version to Rick Modis. Last week, and I do not yet have his final stamp of approval on it. He hasn't gotten back to me.
We don't need his approval anyway.
As yet. I know you don't, but right. I'm just saying that he has not finally...
there's no tweaks to it, but he suggested it, but what you're saying.
He had three opportunities to
tweak it. There were some changes that I made from the last time that he has not yet commented on.
Yes, right.
So, the only other thing, and I'm not sure if you got this, when I went back after the last time it was discussed by council to make some minor changes, I discovered that there were some, not great, but there were some discrepancies between the last electronic copy that I had reviewed and gone over with your fire marshal and the version that was presented to council. I can outline what those differences are for you if you like. I wasn't sure where those other differences
That probably was the last thing that we did in the code book. What were the...
These are the differences. There were some definitions that were in the beginning, which weren't in the prior version that I had reviewed. I looked at the definitions and I thought that they were unnecessary in that essentially they referred to the Uniform Fire Safety Act and the International Fire Code, New Jersey edition, and I just added language to say that all applicable definitions from the Uniform Fire Safety Act and the International Fire Code would be applied to this ordinance. So that was difference number one.
Okay.
Difference number two was a request that council made. I don't think it was anything significant within section 42.9. And you had wanted me to reword paragraph 9, which I did as you had requested. Which merely indicated that the duties of the fire marshal, among the duties, was to respond to and investigate calls of alarm within the borough.
Right.
So I made that change as requested.
Mm-hmm.
The third change was that there was additional language in 42.27 having to do with delineation and marking. And there was language that said that the painting of such lines and markings shall be designated by the fire marshal in compliance with New Jersey law and performed by the Department of Public Works, and that the borough shall bill this work and supplies to the Bureau of Fire Prevention to be paid by transfer from available penalties and fines account. I had, when I first realized that there was a difference in the version, I had spoken to Mr. Monas. He objected to that paragraph. He didn't think that the pay and the transfer of funds was something that should be in the fire prevention ordinance. It is not in the version in front of you. Certainly, if you want it back in, I will put it back in, but that was based on his comment to me.
So, repeat it again? Because since it's not in front of me, I don't know.
It's here. This is the old version here.
It's, I don't know if you were given a copy of the email that
I sent.
Do you
want me to read it for you, Jean?
Quote, okay. The painting, this is what was removed. Mm-hmm. Quote, the painting of such lines and markings shall be designated by the fire official / marshal in compliance with New Jersey law, no problem with that, and shall be performed by the Borough of Washington Department of Public Works, and the Borough of Washington shall bill this work and supplies to the Bureau of Fire Prevention to be paid by transfer from available penalties and fines account.
Well, I mean, I could see where they're coming. If it's totally removed, then where does the painting of such lines and markings, where is it in here now then, as far as how do those lines get there, who does it, who pays for it?
Yeah, it's just not specified in the ordinance.
It's specified how it should be marked.
But not who does it.
But not who does it, nor how it's paid in.
Right.
Honestly, it was Mr. Monas that objected to that. I don't know your different accounts, so I don't know if that's something that is the way that it's done. But he objected to it and did not think it should be done.
As I understand it, I think
fines and penalties is his money that he has, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, the one is used for education only of
education
fire prevention. And that's a separate account than the working account, if you would call it, one that they collect the penalties on.
Well, like inspection fees? Where does the inspection
fees? Yeah, fees are different. I think all the fees go to the education. And the penalties and fines is the account that is his working account. So, I don't know why he would object to that, really, because that's the way it's done now. It just says that, you know, it clearly states here that it's the DPW
so
that does the
currently
painting.
Currently the DPW paints these lines, and where does the money come from? Their time and
yeah.
Their paint.
So, in other words, I guess right now, DPW eats the cost. In other words, the borough pays and doesn't get reimbursed from this account. And that's the difference. And so,
okay, and clearly, if that's the way that you want it to be done, it's up to council to decide.
Is that how it's being done now?
Apparently how it's being done now is it just comes out of the DPW budget, the
right.
Taxpayers.
For painting.
And the way it was in the ordinance, it was proposing that the monies to cover that expense would come from the penalties, the money that the fire marshal collects for all his, you know, fines and stuff.
And that is the way that we, you know, when we had Mr. Councilman Valentine, when he was on our committee as well, you know, all three of us, you know, did discuss this, and, you know, we had thought to leave this in the way that it was. So, I mean, you know, that's fair game for the council to
yes,
decide.
Yes, it's a council
but,
decision.
You know, I'm in favor of putting it back to the way it was, including that cost, because there's adequate money in that account,
what?
And it would help our borough budget, you know, in a little bit. So,
right.
Yeah.
Was it? In other words, this was in the ordinance before it was taken out.
No.
I don't know. I don't know how.
I don't have the last.
Do you have the code?
Yeah, I do.
Chapter 42.
42. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up for you.
That was in one of the other drafts of this new proposal.
Right.
Ordinance. Oh, okay.
So this was one that we had to really change quite a bit from what it was.
For what my understanding, before you put something, shouldn't you discuss it with them before you put it in there?
It was.
It was, yeah, no, no, there was this discussion.
We had
This particular ordinance we've been working on when Councilman Valentine was on, you know.
Right.
With this, we've met with Mr. Moses numerous times, and I've only met him once or twice, but I know Rob and Christine and Judy
John Valentine, too.
Have gone with him back and forth with this thing.
On this?
On this whole ordinance.
Okay.
This is number 27. This actually didn't cover this at all previously.
Our current ordinance does not cover this at all.
Right.
This is kind of like a new ordinance, adding a lot of beef and necessary things.
Yeah, it was.
The fire marshal felt it needed to be established in an ordinance.
Okay.
Our previous ordinance was very weak, in other words, so we had to change.
Okay, but what I'm saying was that the money part, was that discussed with him?
Oh, yeah.
When you had that discussion?
Yes, it was.
So why was he opposing that?
He's clinging on to any monies that he gets in his department, because he's trying to maintain the balance, as it were, to make his department, as the manager is requiring, as I understand it, all the departments to pay for their own rent.
But what I'm saying to you, he should have agreed to that before, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no.
If he didn't agree to it, you shouldn't put it, this is me, if I'm sitting having the discussion with you about this, and this come to me, and I know nothing of it, of course I'm going to oppose it, you know what I'm saying?
Right, sure.
So if it hasn't been discussed with me about money, I'm not going to let you put something in there that I have no knowledge of.
Well, our fire marshal has been a fire marshal for, you know, quite a long time.
Okay.
He's very well aware of the situation and his budget. He has his own budget. He's just, I guess, of the opinion.
He has his own, like, trust of money.
I can't speak for him. He's not here. However, I can, viewpoint is that he wants to have as much money as possible in his account so that he has no trouble balancing his department.
And he's self-sufficient.
However, because we raised some fines and penalties in this ordinance as well, he should absolutely have no problem doing that. You know, he'll actually be having a surplus.
How about if we invite him to the next meeting to raise his objections or whatever?
Or why he feels that he should not.
That's fine.
Why he should not have it in his budget.
Okay, so that's the point of contention. The other thing on the definitions, I just wanted to comment. The reason that we put some of these other definitions in was because there was a question as to some confusion of the actual term fire official versus fire marshal. Okay, and it's not clear, and so I took the definition for fire official right from the state code. Fire official means, so of these other definitions, fire inspection, life hazard, local enforcement agency, owner, uniform construction code, I would have no problem if those are not included, because the overall general broad definition that you had changed, Judy, would be fine, except for, I think, for the clarity of the general public, I think that the fire official one should remain in there. For a clarification, because people are confused between the term fire official because, fire marshal, because that's a state generally, a state fire marshal, so that's why that's in there. So.
The only other change between the prior version that you looked at and this one is, and this again was Mr. Moniz, so it may be that you would like him to comment the next time. There was a provision added about fire watches at Washington Celebrates America.
At the end, we discussed that at the, right.
And he felt that you were stepping on his authority, that he is the only person that could order a fire watch, and that if at some time Washington Celebrates America did not involve fireworks, then a fire watch wouldn't necessarily
be fired. Well, then I hope that he's in attendance at our next meeting, because I could discuss the administrative code with him on that specifically, because the fire watches are fire chief's responsibility, which is basically delegated to him by the chief. The chief really still has the overall authority to do a fire watch and designate him as the person to do it. So he's not the only one who has that authority. So he could come, we'll welcome his discussion on that.
We have 2 points of discussion for
that's fine.
Okay, anything else on the fire prevention ordinance?
I've got a question.
Sure.
Do we have a fire marshal?
No, that's why Councilman Torres is saying we should have those definitions, because it's confusing. I always thought he was the fire marshal, but that's actually a state, like, appointment or a person.
Yes.
We have a fire official.
Mr. Lake's the fire marshal.
Yeah, he's a county person, right?
County.
Yes, and so that he's the state designated.
So a marshal is a county representative, official is a local, is what it boils down to.
Yes, but...
And Mr. Lake also does the investigation, so on fire season.
Right, so it is like that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you had asked me if that's what I did, too.
All right, that brings us to the nuisance ordinance.
So, Ann, could you direct Christine to invite Ms. Simonis to the next meeting to discuss the two items that were removed from the...
Just two items removed, she'll know what that is?
She won't, but Judy can tell her what two were removed.
Yep.
Okay, well, as for the nuisance ordinance, we did hand it out for review for the council from last meeting, and I don't know if everyone did have a chance to review it. Kind of thick, 63 pages.
I had a chance to review that, not the attorney's.
Right, well, but the attorney's, version is basically a good, concise. I did read it thoroughly before the meeting. She has good comments. There's a lot of punctuation and paragraph changes that are, in the margin, so that takes up some of the, the formatting and things like that.
And actually, in the version that I printed out for you, I tried to remove some of the formatting, because it was just distracting.
It was very distracting. So now, this is a very cleaner copy, and the changes she made are in color, so we can see her comments, and I would have no problem if we at least started to go over it tonight and then continued it on the next meeting. There's only a couple things that are different, but I would suggest that we just go, if Judy could just read the comments and we can go right through it. We can go right from the copy that she handed out.
Sure. And let me just clarify for everybody's benefit that the red printing are items that were added from the last time that I reviewed.
Exactly.
And then my comments are over the side.
Yeah,
in purple or pink or whatever color you want to call that.
Why don't we deal with, what isn't, formatting or punctuation?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to do. Right, okay.
I agree. I don't think that should be in the ordinance.
Right. Yeah, there was some language in the introductory portion. It isn't included in this color copy. It talks about why changes are being made. I don't think that should be in for the reasons that I've expressed.
That's fine, and I would agree with that
so
as well.
So we agree to cut that out. Okay.
Yeah.
And the subject matters of the sections that were being repealed were removed from the other version. I think it just clarifies things for the public if they see what ones are being repealed and replacing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then we can go right to 59.1.1, you have your biggest comment here to start with, right?
Yeah, and that just is a general statement to let you know that that certain parts of the state public health nuisance code were declared unconstitutional, and I've indicated what they are. There's still, most of the public health nuisance code is in effect, but just so you know that the items that are listed will not be enforceable because the court has kicked them out, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right. So your the black print typing would be what you recommend to leave in?
No, my typing over here is what has been declared unconstitutional by the courts in the public health nuisance code.
Yes.
I think you can still say that you are establishing that. I just wanted you to know that there are certain parts of it that are unenforceable.
Okay. All right, but then we get to, which is any conduct injurious, you put instead of anything.
Yeah,
which
because
is better
case law has said that nuisance laws have to be related to conduct, essentially. That's why I changed anything to conduct.
Mm-hmm. To injurious.
Injurious, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my next comment is, there was some parenthetical language in there about what you weren't doing. Don't put that in the code, you just want to say what you are doing, in my opinion. Clearly, all of this is your decision, but these are my recommendations.
Okay.
Is everyone in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, and again, that's just some repetition on that 59-2 title.
Yeah, we all agree on those changes as well. So we're going to page three is formatting, page four is...
Bottom of four.
Right, 59-5 definitions. Now, just to clarify too, because you had made comments specifically to me, I had taken these from other municipalities in New Jersey, their ordinances that are in existence, or else from the state code. So it's a mixture. Plus, some of these ordinances were from our in existing code that we already have.
And certainly, if it's from the state, that's no problem. The
right.
only problem I have, and since I don't know where they came from, as to each specific definition, is that other towns can have definitions
that
in their code
exactly,
that
sure.
could be
But I do have,
issues.
I have
right.
a file here, Judy, so if you do need to find out where I went through, I can look those up for you and give you where I got each definition. So that is available. It will take me some time to do if you need that. However, most of these are readily available, these definitions. So.
All right.
So that's what I have to say.
I have two questions I asked
sure.
you all are here. Are you comfortable with the order, the structured order of the entire ordinance as far as how things are?
There is some repetition in that the same penalty provision is repeated a number
yeah,
of places.
Yeah, I've noted that.
Yeah. Can we move that
just
to
one
section? Spot?
Like
yeah, that's what I would suggest doing if
okay.
you're comfortable with that. No,
I mean like having litter towards the end and this in the beginning, like doesn't matter. And then as far as like in, you know, your guidance as far as in enforcing, is there anything else, is there anything in here that like shouldn't be in here, like, you know, don't bother? Like,
well, that's up to council. That's really your decision. It's a policy decision as to whether you want to have these kinds of controls. I believe I've given you comments that indicate there are a few places where it says borough shall do this or that, and I've
or
commented
may.
That
right.
you might want to consider
just
saying
rephrase.
May
yes.
instead of shall, because if you're mandated to do it and it could be expensive, you have
right.
to
right, then we would
that.
Have to do it. So in those instances, I would certainly recommend to change it to those. To those, so I would have no problem with those changes.
But the policy
as well.
Decision really has to do with whether you want to legislate these areas.
Right.
Okay.
So. I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
The I know you keep saying you took certain things from certain places.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that you took from certain places. Do we know those places that you took it from? Because I have a problem with, we're taking it from somewhere else, and we don't know if those ordinances are even correct to the procedure in which we're trying to go. I don't want something to bite us in the butt that we put
right.
in here, and it's not correct.
Due diligence and care was taken to make sure that these were in the existing ordinances right now, or else right from the state code.
Yeah, but none of these ordinances were challenged in any of the places that you took it from. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying. You don't know if they, if you took it from other towns, you never know if they, you have to really do your homework when you're taking it from other places. You know what I'm saying?
Let me say this. Our committee has worked on this for over a year on the citizens' ordinance as well as the other ordinances. So we've spent a great deal of amount of time and effort in trying to come to accumulation of, you know, the total bulk of what we have. And like I said, we did spend quite a number of hours in due diligence looking up where these things came from to make sure that they're something that's in effect in these other municipalities, or else it's something that we already have.
But to the best of your knowledge, there are no challenges to
right,
any of them.
Right, absolutely not.
Those.
I
okay.
certainly would not
I mean,
include
that
anything
that's,
like that in
that's,
any
that's
controversial thing.
Right.
Judy would certainly maybe be aware of and could point it out to us, but
you know, there was nothing coming along the way.
If you took it from another, she wouldn't know if you took it from another municipality.
And that's what she's saying here.
That's what I'm saying, you took it from another municipality.
So what would you recommend?
Right, well, we're only talking about the definitions here, that's not gonna be, earth-shattering and something that's gonna be really, something that, I mean, certain ones could be challenged, but...
If a borough residence wants to challenge you, and it has been challenged before, it could, would not be able to stick.
Well, Rob, what is it that you're referring to? You know where you got all the definitions from, so maybe that would be...
Pardon me?
I think you've offered to let Judy know where you got all the definitions from.
Absolutely, I mean, you know, I could, most of them I have, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, we have, let's see.
Well, we don't have to go through it.
City of Millville, New Jersey, I have...
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you have to go through all of them, I would like you to give it to the attorney to know where they come from, because if we're putting something in place, and we don't know, will it stay, or will it be challenged, we need to know those things.
Well, let's just put it this way, anything can be challenged, anything at all. Even if it's absolutely 100%, it looks like everything is in 100% order, anybody can challenge anything.
I know that.
But these, as I said, were totally researched and totally, to the best of my knowledge, you know, as a paralegal, I know, you know, certain things myself.
But you're not a lawyer, I want the lawyer to look at...
Right, well, that's fine. And we've worked with the lawyer with this as well, so this is not just all me doing this, this is...
No, I'm not saying...
I just only did the definitions, basically.
I just wanna make sure, because it's something that, you know...
And most of this, just to get this straight, we already had a nuisance ordinance, we had several other ordinances that kind of were repeated in several places. There were some that were very much out of date, they needed updating anyway, so, you know, we made a decision to combine them into the one new ordinance and repeal the old ones, that's all. And then there's some new items which were added, as I mentioned before, into this, which are the long-term vacant buildings in the commercial business district, which is graffiti and vandalism, littering, was edited different from what we had before. And noise is added from what we had before. The other things like weeds in the sidewalk, tree topping, things like that, animal barking, are just gonna be cross-referenced to what we already have, so, but they're included in this just because they're in this. So it's basically that. So it's a condensation of basically our code that we have now, plus it adds in these new items. All right, and if we could, you know, move on to some of the new items, it will go a lot faster, because...
I just want our attorneys to make sure that these definitions are correct.
All right, I will go over all that with her, for your benefit.
Okay, what are we off to next, now that we got the definitions?
Well, it seems that,
So we'll make Judy's recommendations for the definitions then, is that where we're leaving it, or are you gonna, this is gonna come back before council again?
Well, I guess we can discuss it again with Judy, and then bring it before council again, sure. The comments that you made on page 14, looks like we have, just for the service enforcement, which is a good comment, on that page. It's just things that were not included in the other version. Same with the one on page 16, the manner of service. She just changed some of the wording. You know, none of these changes are major at all,
Rob, with some of the notifications, which I saw was kind of at the bottom of 14, sent through regular mail versus certified mail.
Both at the same time.
Yes, if an owner does not pick up the registered mail...
There is a presumption that they receive the regular mail, as long as the regular mail is not returned as undeliverable. That's why you should send them both at the same time.
Right, there's always the presumption of service, right, so that's important, she puts that in her comments, which is good. So then, we're up to the one that's more delicate that we need to discuss, really, is the one that,
Oh, there it is on 16.
Number 5910, which is the abatement of unfit buildings. And that's, also covers a lot of what Judy gave us copies of the public law that we, is on the books from the state, for the blockbuster law that was discussed last time, as well as previous ordinances to that effect that the borough did not pass. So we all had those to review as well. This covers most of that in this, which Judy can, you know, verify that. A lot of this was taken right from either our code that we had now or the state statute, rather than anyone else's ordinance. That's where this came from. So that's number 10. Did anybody have any discussion on that? Was there any questions?
Well, are we going to, I guess even go back, you just go way too fast for me. I'm sorry, but...
Okay, well, what, I'm sorry.
I mean, I agree that some of the comments Judy makes, we should be making those changes in the ordinance, and are we making...
Well, yeah, I thought that's what we're agreeing to as we go along.
We were coming back to discuss that?
Yeah, we're only coming back to discuss the definitions.
Are we okay in her that we change, make those changes?
Yes.
You're saying yes, 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 but are we going to make those changes?
Yeah, I thought it's understood that, okay, if it's not, we can start the beginning again if you'd like.
Well, just on page 11, those two comments. Are we going to direct Judy to change them to what she feels it should be?
Let's see. Yeah, I thought we said that was okay.
Oh, skip over the page.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I have no problem with those comments. That's what, you know, so if anyone else, it's open for discussion. I have no problem on page 11, page 12. Now, these are good comments that she made.
Let me just ask you for a clarification on page 12, the definitional section of inoperable vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a policy decision, again, on the part of the borough.
Right.
So it's council's call, how mm-hmm. you want to handle this. Mm-hmm. But the way that definition reads right now, you'll see my comment that there could be an mm-hmm. issue with individuals working on their vehicle.
Well, yes,
they
so could.
It's council's decision how you want that. That's what
should
you have
there
to tell
be a
me.
Time limit like in the other section? Like, I agree. We shouldn't have all these vehicles and trailers. You know, since we changed the whole parking lot, you know what I mean? You got all the stuff in the streets now, you know? So
yep.
I agree. If a person's working on a car because there's a problem with it, it's, you know, 48 hours or something, that's one thing. But to have these vehicles, you know, a hobby because you're fixing a 1950 Chevy,
like
you know,
We did discuss this in well, it's actually in vehicles and in the other ordinance which were coming up. It's not included in it. However, this one would be, if you notice in number 10, it says which are in a visible disrepair or an abandoned condition. That's a judgment call by the code enforcement officer. If they want to, you know, basically go with that, they can. We can change it to add a time limit. We can, you know, do that. That might be preferred.
I mean, again, you don't want some people
say,
to be able to work on their car.
But they do automatically, I believe it's 10-day notice before the first time, a warning, and then they would have time to repair it. We could
is
change it to have 30
right
days.
Is it somewhere in here already?
Double check that. The thing that I was looking at in some of those, you could have an exotic car, which may take 2 weeks to get the product, you know, the part from Europe,
mm-hmm.
you know, or an old car where you... Also, the part has to be manufactured or something like
sure.
that.
Sure, so it may take time. Well, do you want to change it? I would be in favor of a 30-day, you know, time limit on that. Like
the other thing I was thinking of with this, suppose one of those temporary pole buildings was built around it. Are we going to consider that being in the garage?
Yeah. Well, so what does that mean? What?
It's almost like a
temporary
sort of thing that you can...
Oh, temporary.
That's on their property.
Yeah. That's on their property.
Well,
that's their own... You know,
some
you
people
consider
that
a
garage,
or
essentially
it's not out in the open. I would say that that's enclosed. Yeah.
Some people, I know, got tickets for that.
Yeah, and that's the next thing. How does that go with the other codes?
Okay, I'm trying to look that up. But under the storage, which is the chapter 87. Just give me a minute here.
I have a boat which doesn't move often. It does move, but it doesn't move often.
Right,
it's,
you know,
it's stored outside.
We certainly don't
want
to.
But it's on your property.
We don't want to inconvenience anyone who has, you know, works on
their
cars. And if they work on their cars in the driveway or whatever, that's fine. It's on their property. But it's just
but
the ones that are more considered abandoned, and that's what this it would become a nuisance then.
It's just in one part of it. It said boat.
Right. Or boat, because...
Well, maybe is it the exterior premises is too vague? What's considered exterior of the, what's the premises? Is it property line? Is it, that's the...
It looks to me like this is something that needs a little bit more work, and I don't think we have the solutions tonight, so we should just move on to the next one. Just mark that one as, let's all think about it and come back with something.
For the record, I'm in favor of the 30-day time limit on that.
Fair enough.
All right. All right, and your comment underneath that for number 11, not sure why this was...
The language of that operable boats may also be parked as provided in...
I was just trying to condense, so it is also in the chapter 94 zoning, so, you know, it's another cross-reference, so that's all. I mean, we can leave it in or take it out, doesn't matter. And there's another reference...
Keep it as clear.
Okay, so we could leave it in there too. Same with B, right.
Same, don't take it out.
Okay, then we're moving ahead to, we're okay to move to page, we did 14 already with the services. And 16 we did, right? Page 16, okay, so now we're on page 17. As I was saying, the abatement of the unfit buildings is, there's state code, which Judy did give us a copy of, the state code. This covers quite a lot of that. As far as I learned...
And the state code essentially gives a town the authority to adopt it if they choose to do so.
Yes, and there's different choices that the municipalities have for the way they want to handle it. So in the code itself, in the state statute, they allow municipalities to choose which way they want to deal with it. So this is just one version, which is the previous version, basically what we already had on the books of how to do that. So
it wasn't on the books before. It was proposed, but it was never adopted.
This one, abatement of unfit buildings. Was
oh, abatement. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking of abandoned. You're absolutely
right. No, right. Yeah, abandoned was not. Right. So we're proposing to add in the abandoned part. We'll get up to that. Let's just go through the comments on number 5910, page 17. So you just have, it says comment. I can't, if you could just read that, Judy.
Oh,
I can't,
sure.
Out of my glasses.
It's just cost.
You should
consider
potential cost to the borough for taking such action. So,
because what the deal is under the abatement is that the borough has the authority, if they choose to exercise it, to demolish unfit buildings. If the property owner doesn't do so, then you can, that becomes a lien on the property that you can try to collect.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is, you have to put the money out up front,
mm-hmm.
and will you ever collect it?
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
is really the purpose of my comment.
Yeah.
Just to let you know that, yes, you get a lien, but it may not be money in hand.
But the way it's worded in here...
You may never get the money.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Judy, but the way it's worded in ours now,
mm-hmm.
in this, we don't have to act if we
correct.
Choose not to.
That is
so
correct.
It basically gives us, as a municipality, option whether or not
right.
that's yeah, we the
something
way we want
to
go.
Something to be considered on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Exactly, like we're doing with the Paramount properties right now.
And that is, if you agree to my comment immediately above there on the same page,
right.
that changes the shall
yes.
to may.
Which
okay.
we already said,
okay.
yeah, would be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah,
absolutely
kind
right.
of agreed to that.
Yes, okay. Okay, so we can move to page 18 then, I guess. And then you have a comment on 10.5.
And really, that only, and I realize that this is coming from the state statute for the most part. This just indicated that the council is designated as the public officer to exercise the powers, or it's designated.
Oh, you added that part in there.
And I
okay.
just,
that's good.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's your zoning officer, your code enforcement officer, or your engineer that should be making these determinations.
Yeah,
right.
That was one of my questions when I was going through it.
Yeah, and
all of a sudden you have these different sections regarding to the public officer, and I was like, well, who is the public officer? Like, should we be defining that? Like,
this defines it as council, and the council then decides who
whether
exercises or not that power.
In this particular section of it. However,
correct.
In the other sections, it might change, like, it's the manager in some of the other ones, who then can designate the code enforcement official, where it says the building code construction official and zoning official.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, but basically the council, I mean, we can change that if we want to have the designated public officers. The council designates, we could say it right here, if we want to forever designate it from now on, you know, until this whole ordinance is changed again, as the manager and anybody she designates or him.
So it's basically left to the council in this general one. But that's up to us if we want to make it forever change or just leave it the way it is for now and every council can review it later on in the future. So it's left. Okay, so I guess fair enough. So was there another, that was it on 18, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, all right, so then we move to 19.
And again, this is just, I recognize that this mirrors the state statute, but my advice always when you're having someone enter onto private property is that if you don't have permission, get a warrant to protect the borough.
Yeah, no, I think, I don't think the code enforcement officer should have that, you know, to be able to go into someone's house, I mean.
Well, that's very difficult, and this is what is.
Or onto their property.
It would hinder our, anybody who is our code enforcement person, because as it is now, they can approach a person's property to knock on their door, ring the doorbell, see if they're home.
Oh, sure.
Give a warning. As for intruding elsewhere, that's where it becomes a gray area. So maybe if we want to change it to, you know, say we need a warrant to go further than that, then that should be, you know, maybe the way it should be changed.
Well, and no, I think the approach is fine. There's no problem with that. It's just that if you approach and then you, permission is withdrawn, I don't think you should go forward without a warrant.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that should be right there.
So you can add that change. I think we all can agree on that too? Okay. All right, so I'll move right on to number 20.
And you know what? I'm going to withdraw my comment on 20, because in rereading this, I realize that that's just one of the considerations that go into whether or not a building is unfit, and I think that's appropriate for one of the considerations. So I'm withdrawing that comment.
That's fine. So we move on to page 21, comment.
That's the same issue with service.
Service.
Same thing.
And we agreed to change that to lateral.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And page 22, it says premises is highlighted. So I can't read the comment, Judy.
Oh, I say...
you may want to...
Oh, that's the same notice issue. It occurs a number of places.
So page 23, there's just minor formatting changes.
24.
Okay, there's a comment on the bottom. Local public contracts, and it's about the bids.
Yeah, and I just added the language, if required by the local public contract law, simply because if it's under the bid threshold, you don't want to have to go through the process.
Which is needed to have, so that's good that you put that in, I think. Okay. So now we're at page 25, there's no changes.
25, 20, the next one's 27.
27, okay.
Oh, and that just has to do with where you place the severability.
Right, and well, I wasn't sure, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you before, I placed it in before the last meeting because I wanted to, because of the urgency of the meeting.
Since it's being introduced as one ordinance, you just need one at the end.
Right, so that you would certainly renumber this for us and put it at the end.
Yep.
Okay, so that would be fine, we agree on that comment. So we're going to page 28.
And this was this has to do with safety from fire provisions. I don't know. Again, this is council's call. I didn't know if you wanted your fire official to review the provisions about safety from fire.
I think this also is from the state codes. I think it's what they would follow anyway. Because it says, and following additional standards for...
I mean, it certainly sounds sensible to me.
No unoccupied
or vacant building shall contain any space utilized for the storage of flammable...
But yeah, if you want the official should review it, that's fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did that much. All right.
And there were some additional ones on the same page that also had to do with fire. That was my only concern.
That's fine. That's page 20.
The one on page 30 is just a technical, that the code codification company takes care of how they arrange these and do reserves.
Right, and
so.
Again, all the violations can be done at the end, just like the severability. So this will also condense it more. It will not be in our code book when it's finished. The finished product will look a little bit different than this. This has stuff that's going to be eliminated right out of it and put in the back. So it'll all be condensed. Most of all our violations and fines should be the same, with the exception maybe of the
graffiti one, which includes the, minors, if they're involved, community service, right.
Correct.
Other than that, they're all should be the same. Okay. Now, this is also from the state code, which wasn't in our previous one, which is the standard compliance, which I added in the 11.6, which is on page 31. But it, some of it is repetitive, but it's again right from the code, so, or the state statute.
Yeah, and I didn't have any problem with that, except I think I made a comment on page 32.
Yes.
Proof of occupancy. It just occurred to me, if it's owner occupied, they're not gonna have a tenant lease or a real estate contract necessarily. I think you could then have the certification of the owner.
Which is a great comment, too. Certainly we should change that as well. 33, there's no changes. 34.
Same service provision.
Okay, right. And 35, you have two comments.
My first comment is, within 3 days following receipt of a notice of violation, they may file an objection. That seems like a short notice period to me.
So we should make it consistent with the others, that's 10 days?
I would make it 10 days, because otherwise I'm afraid somebody could accuse you of a due process violation.
Okay, so let's just change it then.
And the second comment on that page, again, has to do with the change from shall to may.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And the next section deals with the abatement by the borough if we choose to do it. And that would, again, be our choice. We would not have to, if it says may, they shall, which is a good change, so certainly we're in favor of that. Now, on page 37, this is violations and penalties. All this should be deleted because we're changing all that, and it should appear all at the end, which Judy will take care of. And then page 38 is...
My comment here, and again, this is, if you want to be repeated, that's fine. I just said that removal of weeds and grass from abutting sidewalks and gutters is already addressed in another code section.
So we can just cross-reference that section if we want, or include this the way it is here, because...
And actually, the code, the codification company will do the cross-reference.
They'll do the cross-references anyway.
Yeah.
So, right. But this way, at least, we're keeping it in nuisances, so it's not confusing when it's finished. And then page 39 is just formatting, page 40.
So 42 is the next one.
Penalties again. Now, again, hedges and fencing, that is, again, already in another location in our code book. We're organizing it and having the general code company produce it here, where it would be a nuisance.
We're gonna be repealing the weed chapter, the whole chapter for weeds. That chapter is one of the ones that's gonna be repealed, and it'll be in here.
Now, page 42, we get up to the comment on the bottom with the trees.
And again, that's just an organizational comment. There is an existing chapter 83, trees.
Yes.
People might, I would think, look under trees.
Yes.
And it already prohibits pruning of trees without the approval of the shade tree commission.
But Judy, would we have a problem, supposing that somebody, say there's a ticket issued under that? I mean, it's still, no matter what, whether it's under nuisances or not, I mean, it doesn't make any difference, really. It still is just as enforceable. I mean, one of the reasons we removed it is because the penalties, and it was different, some of the, from what we had. I think this was one of the ones that the penalty and violations were different. So we decided to move this together as a nuisance, too, and just repeat it. The language is the same. It's just moved here also. So it appears twice.
If that's the case, then we should probably put, because honestly, I...
Let me look to see what...
I didn't see if it mirrored it exactly.
Yeah.
It is different in multiple places.
Question about trees.
Yeah.
If a tree's in somebody's backyard and they want to prune it, they have to still get permission from shade tree?
No, only within our right of way.
Okay.
So in other words, the ones that own it on the street over the sidewalk, that's the ones, right? Let me just look this up.
You gotta think some people know about that, you know.
Trees is 83.1.
On public property. under this. I haven't, I don't have the other one in front of me right now, but this has to do with on public property or pruning trees that are required for streetlight visibility.
The new ordinance that we just changed from Chapter 83 for the Shade Tree Commission that we just adopted in 2012 is the newest version. And I think that's the same language as it is here for tree topping. And I just wanted to... okay. Yeah, see, the violations and penalties is different. They have this as the language. 83.4, any person, group of persons, partnership, association, or corporation individually or collectively shall violate or aid and take part in or assist in the violation of this chapter shall be subject upon conviction to a fine of not more than $500 or imprisonment for a period of not to exceed 90 days or both. Each and every day if such violation occurs or continues to exist shall be considered a separate and specific violation.
Well, that's the same under trees here.
The same thing on the
page 44. Mm-hmm. That's the same as that.
So I did copy that completely. I wasn't sure. That's why I checked back.
I think take out the whole section.
It's already under the state tree one.
Mm-hmm. We could do that. I mean, it just was only put in there so that the old nuisances would be easier to, for people to find. However, you know, that...
It's already under another ordinance.
And okay.
It's kind of public property, too, kind of.
So, mm-hmm. All right, we could eliminate that one. So we'll eliminate number 14 completely.
59-14.
Okay, so that's the tree, because it's already, it's repeated. All right, but snow removal, I believe, should stay in here. That's more of a thing that people would think of as a nuisance right away.
Well, it's in the streets chapter, so...
Well, the streets chapter is getting...
So is it going to be repealed from the streets one? I don't think it should be in both ways.
No, I don't either. So it is going to be removed from there and put here. That would be the idea.
If that's the case, we should add the repealer in the first paragraph.
In the first paragraph?
Yeah.
Of the whole ordinance?
Of the whole ordinance.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And where was snow and ice before? Let me just check. I brought it so just in case we had to do this.
No, but we went over changes at Rudy.
Well, yeah, but let me just find where this was. See, one of the problems that we had is our table of contents is not that clear. It's not easy to find. And it should be, the idea is to make it easy for the citizens to go look up something just like that. Go on the website, say, you know, there it is. You know, so that's one of the things. Let me just see if it's in the index better. Snow removal, 73, so it's chapter 73, 13. One second. Okay, 13 says, okay. This one, no, that's incorrect. So our index is not correct with our code book. It's not, because that is under soil removal, not snow removal. Hold on. Let me just see if I can find it again. Sorry about that. Just bear with me. We can get through this. Okay. Parking. Removal of vehicles. Snow and ice removal. Okay. It's under Administration of Government, Stormwater Matters, Streets and Sidewalks, 7514. Okay. So, this 75. Okay. So, the only change, okay, it is different. We did make some changes to that. Basically, the height and the hours were changed. We changed it from... Our code now says the first 12 hours of daylight, we change it to 24 hours to give an extra day to people. Yep. And then the last paragraph, we added an 18 inches from the curb, where it says beyond the plow line in the current ordinance. So that part,
I guess
slightly the wording is different.
The plow line could be anywhere.
I think the thing is maybe that the one for streets is more for like the private homeowner, mm-hmm. and this one's more for the owner tenant of any building or land that's butting upon any, which shall.
Right.
But what
You almost need one to cover both populations.
And we have different standards for the two, I think.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
That could be a problem.
We should have one uniform.
Well, yeah, we definitely have to have one uniform problem, and this is the one uniform ordinance. So.
Stay in that place, right there.
Well, no, we're moving it in here, so it's easy to find.
Yeah, but you're moving it in here, but it's.
Is it coming out with the repealer?
Right, not, it would need to be.
Right.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think it should go under nuisance, or should it put, be put on the street? Just like the street was.
I mean.
Or have it in both places, or have it, you know.
I wouldn't have it in both places.
No.
The idea is for people that are citizens that are not maybe law savvy at all, can easily go onto the website and look up what the code violations are, so that they'll know to prevent this from happening. So if they go to nuisance, basically, it's gonna be in a nutshell, everything that they have to, you know, watch out for, or, you know, as guidelines, it's pretty much.
I know what you're saying, snow as a nuisance per se.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would think of it.
I wouldn't think it as a nuisance.
And really, I think folks can go into the search engine and just plug in a term.
Mm-hmm.
Snow, and it pops up wherever it is in the.
Okay, well then, if we move from here though, we're gonna have a little complication, because what happens is, we would have to go back over streets and sidewalks again, to incorporate it back in.
But we didn't present it to council.
No, that one we still are coming up to, but.
This is not in this one. We actually need to add this to that.
Okay.
What do you mean this is not in?
The snow.
Snow nice removal?
Because it's for two different, that's more for like the private homeowner. This is for,
Commercial.
Yeah, this is more like.
This is owner, tenant, occupants of any building or land.
The standard has to be the same for everybody.
Well, yeah, so what we have to do then is, okay, well, if we're gonna leave it in, I mean, first of all, we should decide whether we're gonna have it in two places or one.
One.
We have it in one place, which is fine, okay, and we leave it in streets and sidewalks, then we have to just change the language again to include this language incorporated into the changes that are already here and to what's here now.
Right.
So that's gonna change streets and sidewalks, so we would just have to re-go over that again, which, because it's something that we already discussed in our code book, but now we'll have to go back over it again before we present it, because that's coming up in another slide presentation when we get to chapter 75. Right now, this is chapter 59, and we're still working on that.
Okay,
so then what we'll do is, we'll keep these changes, but we'll move them to streets and sidewalks. So we'll remove them from here, so we don't need the repealer for this one, only for the other one. So keep changes and move to.
Right, so we'll be taking out a nuisance one, though.
Right, 75, okay.
Right.
And again, that would include everything that has to do with this, which is all of chapter 15. So.
Right.
We stuck, this whole thing ends at chapter 15, is just gonna be eliminated, from this nuisance ordinance, and it will start at 16, will become 15 then, which is.
Right.
Again, has to do with sidewalks, but this is with more on the lines of what nuisance would be, in general terms, which is keeping sidewalks clean, rubbish, okay? Now, you have made a comment on this. We're on page 46.
And that really is, my comment was just what you're talking about. Where do you want it to be? Streets and sidewalks are here.
Which is fine, so we're gonna go with that comment, right?
So
any questions on that?
We're gonna keep this under nuisance and not
right.
have it under.
Right. So 16 will remain, 15 chapter, subchapter.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to come out.
So 16 is going to remain.
Right.
In
but it will just be renumbered. Mm-hmm. But there will be a placement of reference on sidewalk, keeping them sidewalks clean. It'll just be numbered as 59, either 14 or 15, however it's finished.
And there's nothing that needs to be repealed from streets and sidewalks in regards to that.
So, okay. Right. So then the next one would be noise, which is under 17. Now, you did make some comments on noise. Now, what I learned about noise, and I just want to prelude this before we discuss it, is had to do with, because, of course, there was a lot of residents that were complaining about the jake braking, which engine braking, which is a noise nuisance. But basically, there's two ways that a municipality can handle a noise nuisance. One is, if it's a noise ordinance, then you have to specify the actual amount of decibel sounds
right, exactly.
That are made. Otherwise,
If it's included in a general nuisance ordinance, which this is, you do not have to specify exactly the amount of decibels, which is a complication that can be challenged in a lot of other municipalities, which I learned. So it's better...
Are we talking about Jake breaking now?
I'm talking about all noise.
Noise in general?
Noise in general. Okay, so any noise, if it's the way that we have it here, under nuisance, we can, in other words, not be subject to as many challenges as the regular noise ordinance, which is a whole nother option that we would have. If we went that way, we would have to put in decibel requirements according to the state statute, which, you know, is different.
And some of the other issues with adopting the decibel level measures are that somebody has to be there when the noise violation occurs with a decibel meter.
With the device.
Yeah, it can be very difficult to enforce. There are other issues with approaching it this way. Now, again, this is a policy decision if you want to regulate this. It is, so you can handle it in two different fashions. Somebody could potentially, as Rob correctly stated, anybody can challenge anything. Mm-hmm. But using terms like unreasonably loud or harsh or unnecessary or unreasonable period of time are very subjective terms that can
maybe
be subject to a challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we could possibly go with this version, but maybe if Judy could recommend just a slightly different wording, we would be home free.
I don't like number three at all. I would totally get rid of it.
I got a question about this.
I get
the thing. Like with teenagers.
Okay.
Okay?
What's that?
Teenagers.
Uh-huh.
In their cars, driving up Belvoir Avenue. Sometimes my windows can rattle so bad, and they go up. And the time you call the cops, oh, they're long gone. So who's going to enforce it?
Well, that's the whole issue with enforcing
with all the noise ordinances.
Right.
That is a problem, and we have to instruct our
police
department
at 4 o'clock in the morning.
At our, you know, which is the
down Belvoir Avenue, 4 o'clock in the morning.
We would instruct them, instruct our manager to instruct the chief of police of the township to have enforcement, you know, made, you know. That we our policy is to enforce this somehow, and so it's up to the police to enforce it. It's their job.
But they have to hear it essentially.
Well, I mean, if they're more in the area, then it's a lot easier.
They'll never catch that.
No, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you got traction shirt going up Belvoir Avenue, sitting at Warren Lumber waiting for them to open.
Hold on. Let's just look at it from the way that this is broken down. There's actually three different types of noise besides for Jake breaking that we have down here. So let's go over that, each one. Okay? Now, construction noise, okay? Now, something like that could be ongoing.
And
you can, right.
Yeah.
So the police can respond. It's easier to enforce, okay?
Yeah,
so I don't think that
isn't there a time frame on that?
Yeah.
Yes, and it's in
it's
here.
On there, number one.
Right. So if you read this, page 47, that's what we're going to go over right now. Okay. I'll move ahead if everybody wants me to the next one, but I think Rich might have a question on that time, so I'll wait.
Okay.
Well, my part on that is sunset. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see a time as opposed to sunset.
Well,
what would you suggest, Mr. Mayor?
Like with the water
well,
it's
tough. You've got the daylight savings time,
yeah.
So sunset
right.
changes.
So
sunset in the wintertime could be 4 o'clock, and in
right.
springtime it could be 5, and in summertime it could be 9:30.
Right.
But I guess your comment is because it's subject to challenge as well, because it's not definite.
No,
but
sunset is definite.
Oh,
so,
that's right. It
you
is
can
definite.
Say what it is. It's just that it changes, but
right.
every
yes.
day there is
right.
a definite time
there
that it's sunset.
Yeah, I would rather see it be
8 to 5, 8, 8 to 4.
8 p.m. or something like that.
A cutoff time.
Right. You know, if you want to come home from work and you eat dinner and you need to cut your grass.
Well, this is different. You're skipping ahead to number two. Right now, we're just doing construction, which is number
yeah,
one.
But that's sunset also. So
well, okay.
It's a general state.
I know, but let's work on the one at a time first, because I think Rich had to comment on the construction noise first.
Well, like I said, teenagers, you know, they race up and down Belvoir Avenue, bebopping the noise, next thing on one winter, they're...
Yeah, but,
well,
Rich,
we're
talking about
construction
noise. Okay.
You're on number
okay.
three. That's number
right.
three.
All right, okay. Hold on. So right now with construction noise, is there any objection to the wording here of sunset to 7 on weekends between
I
sunset
think
to 8?
I think more hours. tell you the truth, my opinion.
For construction noise?
Working hours, normal working hours. Do you want them...
Which are what? What would you suggest? I'm asking for suggestions.
Because I just talked to charters when they were doing paving, pouring at 4 o'clock in the morning, unloading the paver on Bellwater Avenue.
Well, right now, it says the hours of sunset to 7 a.m. Are you in objection to that? It says on weekdays. And sunset to 8 a.m. on weekends. So you want to put in, like the mayor says, a definite hour?
I think it should be an hour.
Okay. What do you think, 7 p.m.?
I'm kind of thinking 8 p.m.
So you think that it's okay to have noise until 8 p.m.?
Because there are people who work.
Right.
I am one that work, and my husband works, and sometimes we just...
But this is construction noise. Do you want to hear, like, bulldozers and stuff?
You have the lawn noise.
But that's different. That's number two.
Well, construction noise would be the banging of a hammer, too.
Right.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, so...
You know, if I got to go up and fix a leak in my roof...
If it falls down...
Most people are not going to call up on you if you're banging on your house, as opposed to...
Oh, yes, they will.
You know, using a bulldozer.
If somebody's working swing shift, they'll be calling.
Yeah, or you have a neighbor who just doesn't like you.
So what would you suggest, Mr. Mayor, as a time?
I'm thinking 8 o'clock.
Anybody else agree with that, 8 p.m.?
I'll be in favor of that.
You want to change it to 8 p.m. then? I'm outvoted. I would say 7 p.m., but okay.
8 p.m.
All right, and what about lawn maintenance? That's number two now.
Say 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Okay, so there's no problem if people are going to be mowing their lawn at 8 p.m. at night.
In the summertime, it gets dark later, and my husband works late. So in other words, someone's going to call the police if my husband's out there mowing lawn. I would be very upset.
Yeah, well, sure. No kidding. Everybody would be.
I would be very upset.
So you want to make it later?
You want to make it
9 o'clock?
At sunset?
Well, you could say, because the hours changes in the summertime.
Right.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Sure.
So if you said
that's
it...
That's why we had sunset.
That's why we had sunset for all these, but... So what would you suggest then, Ethel? Floor is yours.
No, floor's not mine.
I'm offering it to you as to what
you recommend.
Would you suggest.
I recommend for the lawn sunset.
Okay. And I'm in favor of keeping it sunset for the lawns.
Because every,
you
know,
do you understand why?
Yeah.
Okay, you have no problem with that, right?
I can go along with that.
Because
okay, so then this one will won't change.
Yeah, it is later.
Some guys do work longer in the summertime, and they're getting home at 7, 8 o'clock.
Exactly.
All right, now this one, I added for discussion purposes. This one was not in the original one that we had discussed, so I added this one because it's in 9 out of 10 other municipalities that have noise ordinances that I checked, they include this. And I thought, okay, well, let's discuss it. So
I'll tell
now,
you right now,
now
I'm trying hard to get my kids out of the house. I
think it's
when
more.
Well, if you're right, let me just say this one thing, and my comment on it is, I live on Carlton Avenue, and between my house and the library, almost nightly, somebody comes by in a hot rod or whatever, and they're just, and of course,
but why do we have horns on our vehicles?
Well,
warning.
But that's
warning.
Different. Didn't have a warning. But this is not. This is outrageous, unneeded use of a horn.
But again, how are you going to enforce that? You know, it's just like
anything else. Before.
So if you honk your horn,
the
police
are going to
be there when you honk your horn. They're going to honk your horn and the person that
No, but if somebody gone. If somebody sees the person who's driving past.
Mm-hmm.
Causing this, you know, illegal use of the horn to go off, they might happen to get their license plate, report to the police, and then they might catch this person.
So if I pass somebody and honk my horn, it'll just say,
no,
hi.
That's different. We're talking about something that's...
Well, that's the subjective part.
Right, well, it is. And certainly,
that's
that's challenged in court by the person who makes the complaint. That's where the challenge would occur. Do you want
to
have a noise ordinance like that or not? I mean, this is the question. And really, this also, sometimes what's very annoying is the noisy car alarms, which go off sometimes by accident, but sometimes the person leaves it on or is not home, and it goes off constantly for hours at a time.
So,
all right? So, I mean, if somebody doesn't call the police, and if we don't have an ordinance like this, and even if they do call the police, there's nothing that can be done. So it's important to have something in effect.
Good
luck
on that one.
I added this on here.
Good luck on that one.
Okay. because the device...
When the 4th of July comes?
Well, sure.
And there's shooting fireworks off?
Then they can go forward and say that's what it is.
That whole neighborhood up there, all you hear is...
Exactly.
The whole 4th of July. And how you gonna tell a cop?
How you gonna tell a cop? Exactly.
You got a horn going off, they want you to take care of it.
But that's fine, but the cop will actually go according to our ordinance and write out the summons, and then they'll go to court.
But that's only due to, okay, if the fireworks go off and the people horns go off, so we're gonna give them a ticket because the fireworks went off.
What fireworks?
Fireworks.
The 4th of July.
The 4th of July.
Wait, are they legal fireworks or illegal fireworks?
They're from the high school.
They're from the high school.
That's different.
But how you gonna give us a...
Yeah, but it isn't the fine.
They were saying that triggers car wash.
That triggers car...
Some people have triggers, some of them have so sensitive that you just touch it.
That's true, but that's still an annoying noise, and there should be an ordinance for it.
But they're trying to...
Do we wanna keep this in or not?
What's that?
So do we wanna keep this in?
Yeah, we could, do we wanna keep it in or not?
No.
Do we keep it in, Rich?
No.
I think it's a 50-50 deal.
I say no.
Ethel, you say take it out?
Take it out.
I say leave it in.
Keep it in?
I say take it out.
Let's get rid of it.
Well, okay. I'm not voting on that.
Good points about it, or some bad points?
Yeah, there's definitely some good points about it.
Well, then we could change it. I mean, what about the alarm part of it? If you don't like the horn and signaling device part, we can just have it to car alarm.
No, but even a car alarm, if it's an accident and the person's not home and it goes off...
That's different, there's always a situation, just like anything else.
I mean, even the alarm is made for what is, for the safety. Someone can bang, get into their car, that is another reason for people having alarms on their cars, for safety. If you have an alarm, it makes your insurance go down, so I think it should be taken out.
If it's not in there, this is what could happen. Let's just propose this. All right, supposing that somebody is not home, their car is parked at home, and for some reason an animal gets in there and, you know, triggers that alarm. It goes off. It's going off for an hour, okay? The next door neighbor calls the police. The police say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. You have no ordinance on the books that I can enforce, okay? They cannot even call that homeowner to let them know to come home. And so they have a dead battery then afterwards, they have all these problems, and it's because we don't have an ordinance that addresses that.
Well, my lady went home, and I got up and I went next door and knocked on her door and told her, get up and cut your alarm off. That's what I did.
Yeah, okay, but what if they're not home? That's what I'm saying, so...
Yeah, the company is calling the
ordinance for that, you know, for the noise.
There is?
Yes.
Where is that?
I think it's state ordinance.
Well,
there's not.
That's why we're putting it here. As far as I know, there's no state ordinance.
There's no obnoxious noise there for 10 p.m. I don't know if that's ours or state or whatever.
There was an ordinance.
We have one.
At one time, there was an ordinance. But then it got changed.
Right. That's why we're...
Reasonable time.
Right. It was reasonable time.
So what's a reasonable time? 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock?
Right. If they had it at 12 o'clock.
Okay, so then...
Well, Rob, if you want to rework that and come back with something else...
Yeah, I could do that.
You're certainly welcome, sir.
So then you're saying that you'd be in favor of if it is at night after, say, 10 p.m.?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because people aren't sleeping at 10 p.m.
What should we make it, 11 o'clock? Some people aren't. What about, I mean, it's not just what your particular...
Well, again, like I said...
Work habits are.
The
whole town.
Rob, like I said, everyone has those devices on their vehicle for a reason. We can't just go around giving people tickets because they're alarmed.
Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to give people tickets.
Let's take it from the standpoint of any obnoxious noise.
You're forgetting the general pretense of everything is these are nuisances. If it's a nuisance, then it's an irritating problem that's, you know, annoying to a lot of the people in town. It should be addressed. So I will, as the mayor recommended, rework this, and we'll work on number 3.
Exactly.
We can add
it. $1,200.
All right, so that's my assignment.
Something that is less subjective.
All right, so in order of time, I'd like to move on to the next section, which is jake breaking, which is, again, under the noise ordinance, which is still under Chapter 17, but it's a subsection. Okay, now this was researched, it's taken from other towns that have this. We didn't have this before, and we would like to include it in because there are several homeowners that complained about on Route 31 that the jake breaking that takes place on a daily basis for them sometimes. So it's a constant problem, and it is kind of localized. It doesn't appear in other sections of the municipality, so it's easy for the municipal, for the township police to enforce this, because it's kind of in a localized location, and it happens pretty much at a certain time.
Question.
Yes.
Here you got Jake breaking.
Yeah.
Cops are tied up in an accident 31.
Uh-huh.
They reroute traffic down Bell Drive and down Broad Street.
Uh-huh.
Track and trailer's coming down, all of a sudden, hey, I got a Jake break, you want to give him a ticket? Cop ain't gonna leave an accident, they'll give him a ticket.
No, of course not, but that's an exceptional event, but...
Yeah, but I got put with it, it's a nuisance to me.
Well, sure, of course it is, but you know, not every single nuisance is gonna be enforced. You can't, you know, I mean, you can nitpick anything that's right in front of you, and that seems to be what you're doing here, but I'm just talking, in general, this is a Jake breaking ordinance.
I'm not nitpicking, you're ignoring me.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
Hold on, guys, you know, nothing is gonna be 100% enforced, no matter what.
Right, exactly.
So, this is just proposed. And the police are gonna have their priorities.
Right.
Sir, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, you might want to tread lightly around these Jake break laws, because they're effectively mandated, and proven to be a safety issue.
And I think that kind of goes with the attorney's comment we have here.
There is a question as to whether towns, I know a lot of towns have adopted these.
Yes.
But there is a question as to whether they are within a municipality's purview to regulate. So it is a potentially challengeable ordinance.
It's yet to be legislated, though, because there's really no case law on it. That's why I read...
There's no challenges so far.
Right, so far there's not.
It may be that you can put up signs, but you may not be able to enforce that. So I just wanted to put that out there, because there is the argument that it is controlled.
All right, well, of the council people that are here now, are we in favor of leaving this in?
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it as well. Ethelyn, Rich?
If there's a challenge and we need to pull it out, we can pull it out.
Right. But I say go with it, because, as I said, more than one municipal resident has complained about this as a problem, and it can easily be enforced, I think, in our case, because it happens in a localized area.
And you do have within the ordinance the exception where it's necessary for safety reasons that it is not a violation in that case.
Right. That's true. So it is under the exceptions, as Judy said, that covers that. All right, so now we're on page 50. We're moving right along to vandalism, graffiti, and other property offenses. This is new. We had similar ones proposed in the past to cover this, but just to give the history, in 2009, right before I got on council, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mayor, but there was one proposed graffiti ordinance in 2009. It was defeated because the fact that it penalized the homeowner, or the victim, if you would, of the graffiti, rather than addressing the problem person, or the, you know, the vandal who's doing this. So this is the opposite. This also tries to cover, it gives a great amount of time for people to clean up their property, but we don't want to have it where it can just constantly be neglected either. So we put a long time limit on it for the homeowners to address the fixing of it, but we put a strict code, if you would, for the vandals who do it. So in other words, we don't want the graffiti that's happening all over our borough to continue. It's really been a problem. It seems to be escalating. People are talking about some of the graffiti is gang related. You know, there's other problems that are mentioned. You know, I mean, some of the graffiti you can't even make out what it says, but it's appearing now in not only vacant buildings, but it's on people's behind me. It's on vehicles. They just spray paint on people's vehicles. Spray paint all over garages in town. I know of at least 5 private garages. As a matter of fact, one of the ones that everybody could see is really big, very recent. I think it was in the last 3 weeks, behind the funeral director. You know, that big white garage he has, and they painted it like white. It was, you know, really nice looking from the back alley, but they completely vandalized it with graffiti. So the graffiti is appearing all over. So this is really a needed ordinance, and Judy has just a few comments on this if you want to address those.
Just a phrase, I think, in the 5918, commit a nuisance. This whole thing is about nuisance.
Right, so
this just needs to be tightened up a little bit in the
language. So the wording will change for us.
Mm-hmm.
just a little bit, just fine tune it. I mean,
sure.
That'd be, I think, whatever is in favor of, right? Is there any objection to this whole ordinance, this section?
No.
Subsection whatsoever?
Outside of what.
The definitions are all going to be moved, as we discussed before, early to the beginning of this whole ordinance. Yeah.
Judy, where is the physically?
What page?
Sensitive condition, back to 50.
Okay.
Yes.
The vague phrase.
The vague phrase. Will that change?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, if council wants me to do so, I can come up with just a little, I know what you're going for here.
So, right, okay.
Plan is up, we'll remove it, whatever.
What's the question?
Where she has 59 with a physically offensive condition. You see where it's in the red, the pink?
Yeah.
What page?
59-18.
Okay.
And she.
So she would reword that, so, yeah, we would direct the attorney to reword that for us, too. All right, now we can move on to, her other comments are on page 52.
That's a service provision.
Again, it's.
Same one.
So 51 is going to be taken out of there?
What's that?
51, these definitions?
No, these definitions are all going to be placed in the beginning, where all the definitions are, that's why they removed that here. And then we're going to move to page 53, which are no changes here, except for the couple strikes on the, it just changes in the title, it says article. Those are things that I had on my notes to eliminate anyway. They were just typos that I missed when I transferred this together. So page 54, there's a couple, just in the middle, you just changed the wording just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, which, there's no problem with any of that. Where's the part where you get to the First Amendment questions? What is that in the end, 19? Your comments on that, I forget, let's just go, move ahead, page 55.
I just, this talks about a state of partial disrepair.
Yeah, this is in our ordinance now, so this is the same.
What is meant by that? I mean, if you remove one little thing from something, it could be partial disrepair.
Right, well, but again, it's a code enforcement judgment issue.
But you can't give too much discretionary judgment, or that's what makes things such a challenge.
Well, I mean, we, you can't say complete disrepair either, because then what is to say what's complete disrepair? So is there a possible way that we can reword this, in your opinion, to cover?
I would get rid of partial. I think you can much easily, much more easily say what's complete disrepair than partial.
Well, no, I mean, what if somebody has a broken transmission, but the engine is fine? It's not complete disrepair in their argument. So, I mean, either way, you can argue one way or the other.
But you do like.
Or which is incapable of being moved unassisted.
Exactly.
So we're going to leave that in.
Or which is in a state of.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, could partial disrepair mean you got a taillight out?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to give somebody a ticket for that.
No, okay, so that, but that's the way our ordinance reads now. That's copy, this is just copy.
Okay.
From there. But anyway, so we'll change that, that's fine. Okay, so then that's page 55, page 56.
Same thing.
Again, same comment. That was the only change there. Now, in page 57, we're going to just eliminate the definitions and move to the front like we did on the others. And your comment is on page 58, where it says. Okay.
Oh, that's just general references.
Okay, yeah, that's, again, that's a typo that shouldn't be there.
We'll get rid of that.
Just copied by.
And again, and the other thing, too, is just a clarification.
So yes, so we're going to go with your comments on that, because we know what that's about. The next page is page 59, which again is moving the definitions, which we're going to do. Page 60 is, you have one comment on the top, okay.
I just say this is an unnecessary, it says see definitions.
Yeah, so we don't need to even say that. So, okay, we'll go with that. Okay, and then why is this in red, leader in public places? Did you just add a title to that that wasn't there? 20.2, or?
No, that must have been something that you added. Things that you added from the last version show up in red.
Right, that's true.
Yep.
Okay. Then we have a comment on page 61. It says, however.
Oh, okay, this is the question you asked.
Oh, yeah, that was the one thing that I.
Yeah.
Now, I believe this one, we did have one ordinance, and I guess this was repealed at one time, or it's not no longer in our ordinance, our current ordinance, about the placement of handbills or newspapers on vehicles. So in other words, a lot of people complain that, you know, what's this, you know, I'm parked in the parking lot here in town, and then there's this, you know, notice of a garage sale on my windshield, or whatever it may be.
Right.
So it's for that. So we can leave it in or take it out, I mean, that's, you know.
I personally would take that out.
I would take that out, too.
Good, so I'm in favor of eliminating all this as well. So we're going to eliminate number, the whole, from number 59, 20, 11, 8, 9, 10, 11. I still, when it comes to 20.7 distribution or sale, I think we should leave that in. Yeah, because what happens is, and especially, this is like the carriers that throw the newspapers, they should be aware that if somebody's not picking up after a couple of days, they shouldn't be throwing any more newspapers at that address, because these people are, it's probably an abandoned house where people don't live there anymore, they moved, or whatever the case may be. But then, you know, you have this big accumulation of these wet papers lying in the street, or sometimes the sidewalk, or sometimes just on the grass in front of the house. And it's, you know, a situation where homeowners can get, you know, houses as targets for break-ins, because it looks like nobody's home in these houses. And then, you know, it's like a warning sign that, okay, so, you know, maybe somebody will break into the house. So, I mean, I would like to keep in number 20.7 up to that one.
And that,
for that reason,
just addresses depositing on any sidewalk, street, or other public place.
Mm-hmm. Which is similar to littering anyway. The other ones are not, and, you know, that's why I'm in favor of, you know, maybe, you know, that's okay to eliminate the rest of number 20, but I think leaving up to number 20.7.
But does not state law allow a newspaper to be thrown?
Yes, it does.
Onto
yeah, but we can limit, we can, yes, it does.
But not, this only addresses sidewalk, street, or other public place.
This is the public part of it, though. They can still throw it on the homeowner's house.
Oh, so they can throw it on the lawn, just don't let it roll onto the sidewalk.
No, but I mean, nobody's going to force it if it's on the sidewalk, but if it's in the street, it becomes a problem.
Mine, I pick it up all the time in the street.
Well, then you should talk to your carrier, because they should not,
I mean,
throw it in the street.
I mean, that's express time. I mean, every home that I have on my block, it goes, instead of on their lawn, it goes in front of their driveway.
See, I was a newspaper carrier for 12 years, and any time that I was throwing the paper, I made sure that it went on the person's property and not in the street. As a matter of fact, all the newspaper distributors that the carriers all work for, they instruct, in their instructions, they're supposed to not throw except on a person's property.
So
they're not supposed to.
Young man's
so,
job to, because we don't want them to throw the newspaper, because if he throws the newspaper not directly in the place that it's supposed to. That's
no, it has to be anywhere on the person's property, as long as it's not in the street.
Now that I understand it a little
so
more, I'm
that's
okay.
What it is, right. It's just in a public place. It's
I thought it was
we're
so
standing.
So it's in public place.
Yeah, which is a street or sidewalk. They can't throw it on them. They can throw it where they're supposed to, anywhere on the person's property. It can be on their roof. It can be, you know, on their front porch, wherever. But it just can't be in the street. Basically, that's what I mean.
How about if you don't want the paper and you leave them there?
That's between you and the carrier, then.
but the express is past month. Then deliver newspapers up on Belgrade Avenue, and people don't want it, so they leave it there, they figure they won't get the paper no more. You just keep on depositing it.
Well, that's a problem. Somebody should call the Express Times about
it
and tell them.
We did.
So, okay. Well, then
they're still getting it.
Well, then they shouldn't.
You just have to pick them up.
Right. That's basically all we can do. But anyway, we should leave this one in and eliminate the rest of it all the way up to page 60. Let's see, this goes up to 63. Is there any part of this that we should leave in, Judy, up to in this 20 after 7? Where, like, I could understand litter on private property. Okay, we're going to eliminate that. But number 13.
Well, you might want to look at 13.
Yeah, 13, I think maybe we could leave.
Policy decision if you want to enforce that. It addresses litter on private property.
That's private property.
It is.
Yes. Okay, so we're saying that we should not say, for example, be able to mandate that they put lids on their containers for garbage?
What's that?
I mean, you know, that's, I mean...
Is that 13?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about 13.
I'm okay with 13.
Yeah, I'm okay with 13, too, but I'm, you know, that's...
I mean, if you're a responsible homeowner and somebody dumps garbage on your lawn, you're gonna wanna pick it up anyway.
You're gonna wanna pick it up, but, you know, we don't want it to be... See, what happens is this, when...
Good luck.
When people see litter on somebody's property, it, in other words, it's like a signal that it's okay for it to accumulate. Somehow, it's like a magnet for more litter. It always happens. When there's...
Yeah, you have a tire on the side of the road, next thing you know, it's 12.
Yeah, there's two tires, or whatever. Yeah, I mean, this is just what happens. So this is good to have this one on the books. Whether it's enforced or not is up to our code enforcement officer and the police.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right, so we'll leave in 13. All right, 14 is litter on vacant lots, and again, we should leave that. Polluting waters, should definitely leave that. And then this was from the other parts of the statute that weren't already listed. So...
What are you on, Rob, 65?
I'm on page 64, 59, 2016, additional nuisances enumerated. Now, Judy, do we have to list it like this? Is this okay to do like this and leave it in this section?
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with it.
Okay. All right, so that's 64. Page 65, we have a comment on number two.
It's repetitive.
It just seemed a bit repetitive, but there's nothing particularly objectionable.
Well, again, some of these things, it's okay to, and just makes it very clear, so I would suggest that we leave it in.
And I think it was mostly because it addressed the motor vehicle provisions that you had in the other section.
You had
right.
In the other section. So you're repeating it about such vehicles.
You want to pick it up then? I mean, that's fine. It really is repeating itself. Okay. So we could eliminate number two. And this three will become two. And then that's it on page 65. Page 66. Now we're almost at the end. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to violations and penalties. Now, my question is this for Judy. Can we have one same penalty and violation?
Yes, except where there are one or two places where you have some different provisions,
okay,
but all the other ones,
all right, so then
it can be arranged to...
So you'll take care of that then for us. Then that's it. And that addresses your comment here as well?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's good. All right, and then as for abatements, again, that's repeated in other places. So do we need to have this here? Is that your comment? I can't read it.
It says it should contain the same languages as used in the prior section.
All right, so then you can change that for us as well? Okay.
Okay.
And the repealer, you'll take care of that. That goes in the beginning, you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then animals is just a reference for the barking, because that's a noise.
Is that including the barnyard animals, the pigs and stuff?
Yeah, it says any animal, right? Or dog on premises, so it's...
Well, you don't have any animals.
You just have dog.
You just have dog.
No, it says
animal
or dog.
No, it says an animal or dog.
An animal.
Okay.
Yeah, an animal or dog, right?
Just making sure.
Yes. Okay. That's what we added in, and we added in continuous noise, repetitive barking, and we added in squealing to cover any pot-bellied pigs that happen to be in the burrow. Okay, there we go. Now we're up to page 21, I'm sorry, 68, yes.
Chickens, all right.
The
chickens,
the chickens,
they cluck.
Yeah. I mean, we could.
They got chickens in
here. That's an animal noise. I think that's covered. So. We're up to the last section, which is page 68.
That's right,
really, the rest are just the same thing we've
already discussed. Same comments that we had before. Okay. So then I guess we're done with going over this. We'll go over it again at the next meeting for the benefit of the other council people that are not in attendance now, just to re-go over this and also to address the fire officials, you know, comments if you have any in this and the other ordinance too. And Ann could make a note for us on that.
to make sure that he can at least look at it and make comment if he cannot appear. We'd like those here.
Okay. And I just want to clarify that I have the okay of council to make the suggested changes that will be billed outside of the retainer.
Well, yes. I mean, that's, in your estimate, what is that? Do we have to do a not to exceed on that? I mean, how many hours would you project to do on this?
I will tell you that I used up the hours on the last time.
I'm asking for the additional one, so that's...
So this would be in addition to, and I would say...
16 hours?
No.
2 hours?
2 to 3 hours, I would say, at the most. It might not take me 3.
Okay.
And, of course, just keep in mind that, of course, the professional reviews are underway as well, so just...
Okay, so we probably need a motion to pay Ms. Copeland.
And I'm sure you want me to do a good job on that, too.
Absolutely.
We should probably have a motion to pay Ms. Copeland up to 3 hours for her...
Yeah, I would be in favor of that as well. So I'll make the motion, or...
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any other discussion? Since that's dealing with money, let's do a roll call on that, please.
Lisa Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
I'm the only lonely guy. Okay, Mr. Mayor, it's all yours again. Thank you.
All right. Reports. Accept a motion to receive and file.
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
You lumping them all?
I'm sorry?
You lumping them all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have one question. I guess it's a question. Let's see. On this director's report, I guess, for the rec, it just doesn't seem like it's, it seems like it's, some of it is just repeated from last time. I don't think it's complete. Can we, is, I'm I guess I'm just asking for maybe more information, but the manager's not here to help us.
Yeah, there was
maybe we can just,
some email on that. There was
kind of
an error or something.
I got the update one.
Okay. Yeah, that, and that was just on the numbers.
Yeah. That's on the numbers. I don't think a lot of people got it. All right, so is there any way that we can, again, discuss this at the next meeting, too?
Sure.
So we can move this again, because I didn't have a chance to review those numbers.
If you wanted to bring it up to the,
okay,
the discussion at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Well.
All right, good. All right, that's the only one that I had a question on.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I just wanted to, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to mention, too, that we did have the code enforcers report included, too. I have to find it here, but
yeah.
I was very pleased that I noticed that the number of violations and the number of actual warnings that were given totally eclipsed all the total number of the last two code enforcement officers going back for the last over 6 months. So in a short period of time, in a 1.5, 2 month period of time, our new code enforcement person, which is the old code enforcement person, has actually made quite a bit significant progress in terms of, you know, enforcement, code enforcement, which was, you know, not getting taken care of. So I'm happy.
We only had one code enforcement guy, and he didn't last very long.
I thought there was, but there was two.
After Mr. Stone left, there was...
Well, there was, I'm counting Mr. Stone.
Well, he for a while.
Well,
for a long time.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. Between Mr. Stone and
committee reports.
The other one. So, right.
No old business, new business. We have a raffle license application for the Washington Borough PTO.
Yes, I'm moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
No. Can we do number 2 and 3 together?
Yes, 159 and 160, certainly.
I'll move those two.
I second.
Okay, is there any discussion on those? Since they deal with money, let's do a roll call on those two, please, Ann.
Torres?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, a bingo application for St. Joseph's Church.
Okay, we could all move that as well.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? And we have 161.
Oh, we missed that.
Put into that.
All
right. So I'll accept the motion on 161-2013.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, vouchers. They move to pay our bills?
Yes.
I think there was some questions, wait a minute.
We need the motion.
Oh, hold on.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, questions? Discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
The donation to the fire company.
Oh, yeah, that was...
As to what it is?
Yeah.
I believe we make quarterly payments to them for them to do their business with.
Okay.
I can't say that that's absolutely positively what it is. You may be getting in touch with Ms. Blanchard tomorrow if she's in.
I have a question on that particular item. It's come to my attention as possibly that's just only for uniforms. If it is for uniforms, then I would like to make the motion that we hold back on paying that voucher right now until we find out if that's exclusively what it's for or if it's just a regular donation as we, you know, regular quarterly part of our donation. Because it's come to my attention that it could possibly be for uniforms, and if it's for uniforms, you know, they get a uniform allowance, and I don't think that, I don't know if that's... I have to talk to the manager. I didn't get a chance to do that on this.
Okay, he's talking about clothing allowance.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a difference between a clothing allowance and a uniform allowance. Clothing allowance isn't until the end of the year, correct, Mr. Thompson?
Some chiefs have changed that.
Okay. I remember normally seeing that towards the end of the year.
So I don't know...
I just don't want to see us paying twice for the same thing. That's always, you know, my concern. So I just wanted the manager to review that. And she's not here to answer our question.
Pay that subject to the manager's approval?
Yeah, can we just hold it until next time? Is that possible?
We can do either one. We can pay it subject to the manager's approval if she...
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Or we can hold it until next...
Sure, I'd rather not hold it up if that's a regular payment, so then, yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
For the manager's approval.
I just had a question, that's all.
Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except fire company and rescue squad.
Was that, were we voting just on that motion or...
All of them, you know, we're taking what you wanted as just an amendment to the...
Okay, fine.
We didn't do it formally.
Okay, yep, then, okay, yep. Just to clarify.
McDonald?
Yes.
And Torres?
Yes.
And Connery.
Connery, sorry.
Neither was one, huh?
Okay. Ann, do we have anything on your recap list?
Yes. The clerk will invite Rick Monas to our next meeting to discuss the fire prevention ordinance, speaking with Attorney Copeland as to what two topics, and also comment on the nuisance ordinance.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. And then there also was...
Approval of this one, of that voucher?
In telling the manager about holding the, this voucher for...
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, for the clothing allowance.
With approval.
Question?
Right, that's...
For the donation for fire company.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Okay, council remarks. Mr. Torres, you've been talking a lot tonight. Let's just go with...
Okay, might as well finish up. I just wanted to, again, for the people that weren't here in the beginning of the meeting, right on Broad Street, a new bakery is opening. It's called Allie's Cupcakery and Cafe, number 7 Broad Street. I have a sample of their menu here, which anybody's certainly welcome to look at. They are going to have light lunches as well as cupcakes. They're in business already. They do things online and for businesses, and now they're open to the public. This is their first business. And the thing that, the reason that this is kind of important is they're actually, this business, they're naming after their daughter who died of cancer. So, you know, if anybody, you know, is interested, I have this up here for people to look at. So that's all I have to say on that.
Just covering.
Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. Don't forget, come to the festival, tell your friends, everybody outside the borough.
When you did the committee, Janine wasn't here, but we had our first annual senior citizens picnic.
Right.
And it went very well. We had 60 participants, and it was very, very, very nice.
Good. Mr. Thompson?
Question. What's going on with downtown?
In what regards?
Was that number 16?
There's at least a note on my desk tonight that the framing inspection for 16 East Washington is scheduled for Thursday. The planning board appearance is Monday, and everything that they've given us is on schedule so far.
Okay.
Just to correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mayor, on that particular point, all structural repairs are still going to be done by September 9th. This was what they had said in their last meeting, I copied down the notes, so. Is that still the schedule?
You know, internal structure, there's gonna be a facade on it, it's, you know, but there's still gonna be more work to be done on the facade after the colors are selected and all that sort of.
Right, but the structural repairs, they said, would be addressed by September 9th. That's what they said when they were here last time.
I believe that's correct.
Okay, so nothing's changed.
What was holding it up was the planning board, we had to come back to the planning.
Just for the facade, okay, good.
Anything internal to that, as far as the sound of the structures, I believe is supposed to be done by.
All right, I'm sorry, interrupt, Rich, but.
Okay. The other reason I ask is that protective casing, whatever you want to call it, around, is all down.
Okay.
And I just asked, I thought maybe something has changed that they were done and they've taken it down.
That would indicate to me that maybe structurally that they're done and they can get put up different scaffolding. That scaffolding that's there is supposed to be for safety purposes.
Right.
To keep anything from falling.
Right.
I know welders have been in there to take care of the iron beam that's there. I don't know it for sure, but I would assume that means that structurally, there's nothing that's gonna fall now.
Okay. And remember September 11th. Put your flags out. That's it.
All right, I would ditto that, and also come to the festival in the borough, I always have a blast. And then I would go for Resolution 162, 2013, authorizing an executive session.
So moved after a 5-minute break?
After a 5-minute break.
Right.
Okay.
Second.
And also discussion of litigation. There was a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Can we leave the door open now?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The yes, okay.
Okay, Judy, do you wanna help us with the motion here?
Sure, would someone like to make a.
Yeah, I'd like to make this motion.
Make a motion to approve the sale of the, what's block and lot?
Block 95, lot 32, I think.
I think it should just be worded like that we're just approving the amount that we already agreed to place into this contract, because the contract's already approved.
Well, no, the contract hasn't been approved yet.
Oh, okay.
What, you're gonna make a motion to approve the price amount and the parking amount.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have to get together a resolution for next time that approve the contract, and I'll give you the form of contract.
Got it.
And we can go on that, and I think any other terms.
Right.
That typical terms that need to be in there.
All right, so I'd like to make a motion.
So make a motion to approve the price term as well as the.
The price of $95,000.
Correct.
For the sale of this municipal parking lot, as well as.
Parking.
As well as guaranteed 6 spaces for off-street parking for those individuals that don't have it.
I second.
Okay, is there any discussion? May I have a roll call, please?
Catching up.
Okay. Torres?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? Well, that's the opportunity.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I accept the motion to adjourn.
Got it. So moved.
What?
Excuse me, my fault.
You got to go.
Anne brought to my attention that the minutes, oh, it's not to do with you guys, no. The minutes that you approved for executive session for the July 16th, 2013, incorrect, failed to note that Anne was not present for the discussion on police shared services, which she was not.
So I'll make that motion to amend that.
Okay.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion to adjourn?
Got it.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Let's go home.
Thank God.